Good morning. We're on Sadi Gimel of an Aleph and Ein Yaakov Bor on page Pei Zayin. We're in the middle of the story of the false Nevi'im who told Nebuchadnezzar's daughter that they had a prophecy that they should have an affair with her, and she went and told her father, and her father said, "Send them to me," and she sent them to him. And he said, "I asked Hanani Mishael Azariah, and he told me, Usser." And they said, "We're also Nevi'im. Hashem didn't tell them, he did tell us." I saw an interesting explanation. We had some discussion about why Hanani Mishael Azariah answered Usser rather than, "No, Hashem didn't tell them." So I saw another interesting explanation in a commentary on Sanhedrin called Sanhedrin Ktana. He says that Nebuchadnezzar wanted to avoid any possibility of these false prophets claiming Hanani Mishael Azariah were biased against them. So he didn't tell Hanani Mishael Azariah, "These false Nevi'im say that God said, you just said Hanani Mishael Azariah, is it permitted for a Jew to have relations with my daughter?" And they said, "Usser." Because otherwise the false prophets might have said, "Well, of course Hanani Mishael Azariah said no. They don't like us." So this way he got an unbiased opinion. In halacha it's called mesiach lefi tumo. When you don't know why somebody is asking something or when somebody tells you information that he doesn't know is of interest to you. It has halachic consequences. If somebody tells you, "I bought this cake from Shalom's," he doesn't know that there are kosher bakeries and non-kosher bakeries. He doesn't know that you keep kosher. He just told you without being asked and for no particular reason, "I bought this cake at Pastry oven, Shalom's, wherever, kosher baker." So that's called Mesiach Lefi Tumo, where he's telling you something that's of halachic interest to you, but he doesn't know that it is. So it's a.
Was she married then?
We don't know. We don't know. Whole discussion exactly. What is the Isser here? But as we said yesterday, they were according to the way we learned yesterday, they were adulterers already, and this was just a ruse that Hashem came up with for them to get their punishment. We'll see shortly another slightly different version of the story in Medrash. Fills in a little bit also, but that's the way we learned yesterday was that Hashem was not punishing them for this. Hashem was punishing them for all their past acts, and this was how Hashem was punishing them. You had a question?
Yeah, as far as getting information that we weren't asked, it sounded like in our case, it was more the question that was asked.
Right. It could also be you ask a question and the person doesn't know why you're asking.
Right.
That could also be a category. Yeah. That's more for the Yoredei Ashir at the next table over there. But it hasn't started yet, so you can stay here. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Amar Lahan, so Nebuchadnezzar on the third line on page Pei Zayin. Amar Lahan, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, I'm sorry, Amar Lahu, he said to them, Ana ba'ena de evdekinhu kehechi de vidaktinhu lechananim shalom azariah. You say that you're equivalent to Hananim shalom azariah. I want to test you the way I tested them. In other words, in a fire. Amrulei, so they said, well, that wouldn't be fair. Inun tzlata havu v'anan train. There are three of them and two of us. So maybe the schus of three of them was enough to save them, but we're only two people. Amar lahu, so Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "B'charu l'chon man v'itu b'hadaychu." Choose someone to go with you. Amri, Yoshua Kohen Gadol. They said, Yoshua Kohen Gadol. Savri, they were thinking, Leite Yoshua de Nefis Zuchute Umagna Alan. Why did they choose him? Because they were thinking he has lots of schos, lots of merit, and he will protect us. There's a medrash called Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. And in chapter 34, it has the same story, but with another detail. They said, they didn't just say, take Yeshua Kohen Gadol because we need to take somebody. Rather, they told the king, he was in this plot with us. Also, another detail there that's not here is that the Medrash says, Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Alu Yisrael Bavel v'lo yinichon maseh mara'im. When the Jewish people came up to Bavel, which is interesting language, came up to Bavel, because usually you would say, go down to Bavel. The commentary, the Radal or of David Luria says, must be a mistake, because you don't go up to Bavel. Bavel is actually below sea level. You go down to Bavel. And anyway, when you leave Eretz Yisrael, you're going down, you're not going up. So he says it must be a mistake. It should say Galul Bavel. V'lo yinichot maseim haraim. They did not abandon their bad deeds. Achav ben Kolaya ben Tzidka ben Maaseya, who are our two false Nevi'im, Nasu Rofei Sheker, they became fake doctors. Vayum Rofim et Neshei Kastim, Vayum Elayim et Hashmi Shemitah. They opened a doctor's office to cater to Babylonian women, and they would have improper relationships with them. Shama HaMelech v'amar Sarfan. When the king heard about this, he wanted to burn them. And they said, Yoshua ben Yod Sadak, they said to themselves, Yoshua ben Yod Sadak is a tzaddik, let his schos combine with ours. And they said, Adonenu HaMelech, Isha Zayah Imanu B'chol Davar. This man was part of our plot the whole time. That's what it says in the Perkei de Rabbi Eliezer, Perek Lamed Gimel.
Quick question, that's a midrash. This is also a midrash, or this is pasuk?
No, it doesn't say anything in the pasuk about this. In fact, what's one of the things we're talking about today? How in the world did Chazal know this? There's a pasuk in Yirmiyah. There's a pasuk in Yirmiyah that talks about these two false Nevi'im. There's a pasuk in Zechariah that talks about Yeshua Kohen Gadol.
Mm.
Not even in the same book of Tanakh. Mm. How did Chazal come to put these three people together in one story? And that's on our list of things to talk about today. Let's finish reading the Gemara. So, Shidinhu, they tied him up and threw him in the fire. Inhu Iklu, they were burnt. Literally, they were toasted. Yoshua Kohen Gadol, Ichruche Mane, Yoshua Kohen Gadol's clothes were singed. Shinemar, Vayerini, Yoshua Kohen Gadol, Omeid Lifnei Malach Hashem, V'asatan Omeid Al Yimino Lissino, Uchti, V'yomar Hashem V'asatan, Yigar Hashem V'cha Satan, Yigar V'cha Hashem V'cher B'Yushalayim, Halo Zeh Ud Mutsalmi Eish. As it says in Zechariah, he showed me Yoshua Kohen Gadol standing before a Malach of Hashem, and the Satan was standing on his right to prosecute. And it says also in Zechariah, Perek Gimel, Pasuk, that was Pasuk Aleph, this is Pasuk Bet, Hashem said to Satan, I reprimand you. This is a person who was saved from fire. Amarle just says he was saved from fire. It doesn't say what fire, why was he in a fire. And in Yirmiyah, where it talks about these two false Nevi'im being burnt, it doesn't say a word about Yoshua Kohen Gadol. Amarle Yadana de tzadikai at. So Nebuchadnezzar said to Yeshua Kohen Gadol, I know that you're a tzadik. Elamai tam ahanya bachpur tanura. Why'd the fire singe you a little bit? Chananim Mishal Mazari lo ahanya bukal. Chananim Mishal Mazari were not touched by the fire at all. Amarle, in hutlata havu ba'anachad. So Yeshua Kohen Gadol said, there were three of them and one of me. So theirs chos was greater. On page, peitet, fourth line. Amarle, so Nebuchadnezzar said to Yoshua Kohen Gadol va'Avram Yachid Havei. Avram also was one when he was thrown into the furnace. Hatam lohavur. So Yoshua Kohen Gadol answered, Hatam lohavur shame v'hadei lo'yay v'shuta l'nura. He was not in the fire with any Rishayim, and therefore the fire was not given permission to do anything. Hacha havu Rishayim v'hadi, but I had Rishayim with me, that is the two false prophets, v'tihiv Rishuta l'nura. And the fire, so the fire was given permission, and once it was given permission, my ischos was not great enough to save me from being singed by the fire. V'hainu da'amri inche, this is what people say, this is the origin of the popular expression, trei ude yabishe v'chad retiva, if you throw two dry twigs and one moist twig into a fire, oktan yabishe l'retiva, the dry ones will burn the wet one. Gemara asks, my time at Yanish, why really was Yoshua Kohen Gadol punished? What does it mean, why was he punished? Rashi says, why was he punished that the fire singed his clothes? And Gemara is asking the same question that Nebuchadnezzar asked, and Yoshua Kohen Gadol didn't tell Nebuchadnezzar the real answer. He just brushed him off. He said, well, because it was just one of me, and that wasn't enough to save me when I was in a fire with these Rishayim. And now the Gemara is asking, according to Rashi, what's the real reason that Yoshua Kohen Gadol's clothing were singed? According to the Marsha, Gemara is now asking a different question. Nebuchadnezzar asked, why were your clothes singed? Gemara, when it says, why was Yoshua Kohen Gadol punished, Gemara is asking a different question. Why was Yoshua Kohen Gadol in this predicament at all? What did he do that he deserved to be thrown into a fire? True, he was saved, but not a pleasant experience to be thrown into a fire. Why? What did he do that he deserved that at all? Amar Papa. So Papa answers, Shayu banav nesrim nashim shinah hagunat lekuna, because his sons were married women who were not fit to marry Kohanim. In fact, his sons were married to non-Jews. And so they were not just not fit for Kohanim, they weren't fit for Jews at all. But where's being polite? Shinemar, as it says, Yeshua haya lavush begadim tzoim. It says Yeshua was wearing dirty clothes. V'chidar kosher Yeshua lavush begadim tzoim. Would Yeshua go around wearing dirty clothes? Literally, I mean, tzoim is very dirty, like with excrement on them. Ela melamed shayu banav nesrim nashim shinan hagunot lakuna v'lo micha bahen. Rather, it means his sons were married to women who were not fit to marry Kohanim, and he didn't rebuke them, and that's called dirty clothes. Marsha explains what distinguishes a Kohen from other people. Kohen has a special uniform, the four clothes, four special garments that a Kohen wears, and Kohen Gadol has eight special garments that he wears. That's how you know that someone's a Kohen or Kohen Gadol. Therefore, because his children were unfit to be Kohanim because they were married to women who they shouldn't have been married to, so that's called he was wearing dirty clothes. That's the and mida keneged mida, his clothing were burnt were singed in the furnace.
Afterwards.
It means he did not fulfill his obligation to rebuke them, whatever that obligation is. There's no way to know. Every situation is unique. The answer is he didn't fulfill his obligation. Whatever he did, it wasn't enough. We don't know what he did. We don't know if he never said a word, or we don't know if he said something once and he should have said something twice, or if he said something 14 million times and he should have said something 14 million and one times. We don't know. We don't know. We just know whatever he did wasn't enough. Okay. So as I mentioned, Rashi and the Marsha have different understandings of the Gemara's question, why was he punished? According to Rashi, the Gemara is asking, Gemara is asking, why were his clothes singed? And It's the same question Nebuchadnezzar asked, and he just didn't give Nebuchadnezzar the true answer because it wasn't Nebuchadnezzar's business, and Nebuchadnezzar might not have appreciated it. Oh, my clothes were singed because my children married non-Jews, and Nebuchadnezzar would say, well, I'm a non-Jew. What do you have against me, right? So it better not to go there. He didn't want to go there, and he brushed Nebuchadnezzar off. And Gemara is now asking, why really were his clothes singed? According to Marsha, Gemara is asking a totally separate question. Nebuchadnezzar asked, why were your clothes singed? Gemara is asking, why was he in this predicament in the first place? That's how the Marsha, as well as another commentary printed in the Ein Yaakov called Avas Eitan, that's how they learn. The Chida says that from a simple reading of the Gemara, I would think the Marsha's explanation is more correct, because often when somebody is giving an answer that's just a brush off, the Gemara says, and he was just brushing him off, and the real reason is, and here the Gemara doesn't say that, so it must not be the case. Now, as far as Nebuchadnezzar's question, or the Gemara's question, right, why was Yeshua Kohen Gadol placed in his predicament, the way the Marsha explains the question? Gemara didn't ask, why were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah placed in this predicament? Gemara didn't ask, why was Avram Avinu placed in this predicament? Why is it asking why Yeshua Kohen Gadol, and assuming that he was being punished, that he did something wrong, and this was his punishment? So the Chida in Sefer Petach Einayim on this Gemara, he explains that in the case of Avram Avinu being thrown into the furnace for refusing to bow down to idols, or for destroying the idols, according to Medrash, or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah being thrown into the furnace for refusing to bow down to idols, it's a clear case of somebody making a Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying God's name, and being put to death for it, and there's no reason to ask why were they thrown into the furnace. Clearly, they were thrown into the furnace because they wanted to sanctify God's name. But Yeshua Kohen Gadol was minding his own business. He was sitting in the Beis Medrash, learning, and all of a sudden, the police show up and say, King wants you, because you're being thrown into the furnace to keep these two evil people company, or according to the Medrash, because they claimed you're part of their plot. He didn't say, I want to sanctify God's name. He didn't get up one day and say, I'm going to sanctify God's name, and if they throw me into the furnace, so be it. He's sitting minding his own business, and he got dragged into this story. So it's fair to ask, why did he deserve to be dragged into this story? He had nothing to do with it. He was minding, wasn't part of it, was minding his own business. So that's how the Chida explains. The Chida then goes on and explains the Pasuk, which the Marsha also does. The Pasuk that the Gemara brings, which is, as I said, Pasuk from Zechariah. Again, the Pasuk says, it's on page Peichet in here. So it says, he showed me Yeshua Kohen Gadol standing before a Malach of Hashem, and a Satan was standing to his right to prosecute. So the Marsha says that, now we usually associate right, the right side, with good, with chesed, and the left side with bad, with gvura, with judgment. So why is the Satan standing on his right? The Satan should be standing on his left. So Marsha says that the Satan was trying to replace midas harachamim with midas adin. Satan was trying to say, get the mercy out of here. I'm going on the right. I want to prosecute. Don't want you to have mercy, so I'm going to be on the right. And specifically, what he was prosecuting Yeshua Kohen Gadol for was this sin that his children were married to people they shouldn't have been married to. And for Yeshua's complicity in it, Yeshua Kohen Gadol, this is not to be confused with Yeshua Bin Nun, Yeshua Kohen Gadol, who was complicit because he failed to do everything he could have done to prevent it. The Chida explains, he says, I heard the following explanation of the Pasuk. The Satan was standing on the right as if he was Yoshua Kohen Gadol's friend. He said to Hashem, this man is a perfect tzaddik. He's the perfect person to throw into the fire because he'll come out unscathed. And really what the Satan wanted was for the Beis Din Shalmala, the heavenly court, to say, wait a second, he does have this one sin. We have to do something about this one sin that he has. So that's why he says he's standing on his right, as if Satan is pretending to advocate on behalf of Yoshua Kohen Gadol, when really his intention is to trap him. And then the next pasuk, Hashem says to the Satan, look, he's a twig that was saved from the fire. You see, you were wrong to try to harm him. Fine. So that's what the Chida says. Rav David Luria, in his commentary in the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, just adds a little bit more to the Mida Keneged Mida of Yoshua Kohen Gadol being trapped in this story. He says the sin of these two false Nevi'im was having relations with non-Jewish women, and the sin of Yoshua Kohen Gadol was not sufficiently rebuking his sons for having relations with non-Jewish women or marrying non-Jewish women. So it's a perfect fit for while they're being punished, for him to be punished also. And that's why Hashem put in the heads of these two Rishayim the idea of bringing Yoshua Kohen Gadol into this story. Doesn't say two sons, but his sons. Doesn't say how many. Correct. They were not perfect tzaddikim who had only this one sin.
No, but I'm saying, was it his place, his job to be rebuking, being the Kohen Gadol, to be rebuking the other people that were also doing this?
Gemara doesn't mention that. Gemara calls him to task for not rebuking his own children. Gemara didn't say that he should have walked around the shul and put up signs rebuking people. He says he should have rebuked his own children. He should fix his own house first and take care of his own children and then worry about the rest of the community. Okay. I'm only inferring from what the Gemara says. The Gemara mentions his children, doesn't mention anyone else. I'm answering you. If
especially in his position, he could have been in charge of Klal Yisrael.
Right, and the Gemara doesn't say. And the Gemara doesn't say he failed to rebuke Klal Yisrael. It says he failed to rebuke his own children. And possibly, if he had rebuked Klal Yisrael, they would have said, "Excuse me, Mister, have you seen your own children lately?" Right. So that could be that he was not qualified to rebuke Klal Yisrael because his own children were committing the same sin. When I was in college, I took a course in Jewish history, and the professor said, when the Jews came back from Babylon, Ezra rebuked them for marrying strange women. And a girl in the back of the class raises her hand, "Professor, what was strange about them?" She clarified what she was trying to teach. Okay. Several commentaries ask the question, why did Nebuchadnezzar only ask Yoshua? How come Avram Avinu wasn't touched by the fire and you were? Why didn't Nebuchadnezzar ask the two false prophets when they said, you can't throw us into the fire? Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were three people. We're only two. They have more merit. Why didn't Nebuchadnezzar say, but Avram was only one? What are you worried about? So there's a commentary in the Sefer in Yaakov called Chidushei Geonim, quoting a sefer called Metzudas David. I don't know what Metzudas David that is. He says that this is not a good question, because what happened? The false prophets said, we are also prophets like Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. So they equated themselves to Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. And but they didn't say we're greater than Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. So if he had mentioned, if he had asked them, what about Avram, who wasn't, he was only one person, the fire didn't touch him, they would have said, well, yeah, we're only as great as Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. We're not greater than Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. Avram Avinu was greater than all of us put together. So therefore, Nebuchadnezzar didn't ask them that question. The Iyun Yaakov explains, which really I think these two explanations could work together, then why did he ask Yeshua, Kohen Gadol? Because Avraham Avinu was saved on his own, and Yeshua Kohen Gadol was saved on his own. So, whereas Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, you could say, well, it took the merit of three people. And the two false Nevi'im could say, we're not as great as Avram. However, Gemara in Pesachim says that Hashem said, I am one and Avram is one. The one should save the one. So I'm going to personally save Avram. Whereas Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were saved by an angel, Gavriel. When Nebuchadnezzar saw that Yeshua, Kohen Gadol, was also one who was saved, then he wanted to know, so you're one, so you should have been saved the same way Avram, who was one, who was saved by Hashem, who was one. So how come you weren't? How come your clothes were burnt? So that's how Iyun Yaakov explains the question. Now, as mentioned, these two false prophets are in Yirmiyah, Perek Chavtet. We read it yesterday. Yeshua, Kohen Gadol, is in Sefer Zechariah. How in the world did Chazal know to put these two stories together? That Yeshua, Kohen Gadol, is a twig saved from a fire, mentioned in Sefer Zechariah, and that Tzidkiah ben Maaseiah and Achav ben Kolayah were toasted in the fire in Sefer Yirmiyah. Where did Chazal find any hint to put these two events together? So it's a commentary on Medrash Rabbah and also on the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. It was one of the major commentaries on Medrash Rabbah called Perish Maharzu or Maharzav. Memhei Resh Zadivav. It stands for Moreno Harav Zev Einhorn. And I think he lived in the 1800s. And this is, or maybe earlier, this is one of the major commentaries on the Medrash. And he references something called the Lamed Beis Midos Shatora Nidreshes Bayim. We know, we say every morning in Korbanos, Yud Gimel Midos Shatora Nidreshes Bayim. 13 ways of darshaning the Torah. That's for halacha. For Agadata, there are 32 ways of darshaning. And there's another compilation of 49 ways of darshaning. But there's a medrash called Mishnat Rabbi Eliezer, which lists the 32 ways of darshaning in Agadata. Number 17 is Davar she'eino mitparesh bimkomo, mitparesh makom acher. Something that's not explained in its place, and it's explained, something that's not described in its place, and it's described somewhere else. For example, it says in Parshas Bereishis, Vayitashem Elokim gan ve'eden mikedem. Hashem planted a garden in Eden, in Eden. And another pasuk says, Vayitzvach Hashem Elokim min adama, and Hashem grew from the ground trees. Okay, so we know that Gan Eden had all kinds of beautiful trees and all kinds of delicious fruits to eat. But how do we know that it also had golden palaces and gems of all kinds? So we learn that from Pasuk in Yechezkel, where it says, Be'eden Gan Elokim Hayita Kol Evin Yikra Mesukatecha. You were in the garden of Elokim in Eden. All precious stones were your sukkah. So we see that there were palaces made of precious stones. It's not mentioned anywhere in Bereishis. It's mentioned in Sefer Yechezkel. Something that's not specified in one place is specified somewhere else. So that is one of the midos that's at play here. Something that's not mentioned in Sefer Yirmiyah, where the story of these two false prophets is mentioned or alluded to, is mentioned in Sefer Zechariah, and Chazal know to put them together. That's one of the midos. Another midah that the Maharzu says is at work here is midah number 20. Davar shenemar lazeh veinoy inyan lo, aval hu inyan lechavero. Something which is mentioned in one place and doesn't seem to belong must be referring to something else. And that's something we're familiar with, similar to one of the Yud Gimel Midos of Halacha. Sometimes something's mentioned in one place and we say this doesn't fit here, so we're going to apply it to something else. So over here, the Pasuk in Yirmiyah refers to Sidkia ben Maaseya and Achav ben Kulaya, Asher Kalam La'esh. They were toasted in fire. They weren't toasted. They were burnt to a crisp. They were killed. The language they were toasted implies they weren't killed. Why does the Pasuk say that? So this Midah teaches us that if it doesn't fit in that context, because it's not right to say they were toasted. So find someone else in Navi who was toasted in fire. That's Yoshua Kohen Gadol. He came out lightly toasted. His clothes were singed.
Does toasted mean the same thing?
Well, if you put bread in a toaster, what do you want to happen? So the same verb, okay, that's a fair question. The same verb is used in Chazal to mean toasting kernels of wheat or barley to eat them. So it clearly doesn't mean burnt to a crisp. It means lightly toasted. That's where the klayot, right? There's a food called klayot. It's toasted kernels. And the verb here is kalam. He toasted them. So the word's not appropriate there. So we use that to bring into the story something, someone else who was lightly toasted, and that's Yoshua Kohen Gadol, who's referred to as a twig saved from fire. So that is what the Maharzu says in his commentary here in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, chapter 33, where the story is mentioned. In his introduction to Medrash Rabbah, where he quotes and comments on these 32 midos for darshaning the Torah, on Midah 17, which we said was something which is not fully explained in one place, is fleshed out somewhere else, he says, this is one of the most prevalent methods used in the Medrash. Medrash is constantly combining stories that don't, on their face in the shot, don't seem to have anything to do with each other. It's taking details from one place, using them to fill in another place where details are missing. And he says the Torah itself does this. The Lecheta Egel is mentioned in Parshas Kisisa. It's mentioned in Parshas Ekev. It's also mentioned twice in the Ksuvim, once in Tehillim, chapter Kovav, and once in Nehemiah, chapter 9. And only by reading all of these four places together do you get the whole story of the Cheta Egel. And it's never fleshed out entirely in one place. And so Chazal, in the Midrashim, used this Midah of something that's not fully explained in one place has more details in another place to bring us the complete story. He says that when Chazal would read Psukim and they would come to a Pasuk and they would say, they would say, this doesn't seem to be a complete story. They would know That's how they would know they need to use the midos of darshaning to flush out the story from elsewhere. Now, he points out that this mida is It's a little bit like a Gzera Shava, in the sense that what we did here, we said that there's a word in the story of the false prophets for somebody being burnt, and there's a word in the Sefer Zechariah for somebody being burnt. It's not exactly the same word, but we do find places where Gzera Shava uses similar words, not exactly the same word. So we're going to bring these two stories together because they're both talking about someone being burnt. So he points out Mida Zion, which is Gzera Shava. Gzera Shava in Halacha means we take a word. This pasuk has word X. This pasuk has the same word. So we're going to learn something about this pasuk to that pasuk, or this halacha to that halacha. And we have a rule, Ein adam dan gzera shava me'atzmo. A person cannot make up his own gzera shavas. They have to be, you have to have a tradition from your Rebbe to judge, to rely on a gzera shava. He says that's only in halacha, not in agadita. In agadita, the nature of agadita is, as we discussed back in the introduction to Ein Yaakov, that it's not always a received tradition, but the Chachamim use these 32 midos to interpret psukim, and a person can use make up his own gzera shava if it seems reasonable to him to come to interpretations, non-halachic interpretations of psukim, to learn the story or to learn lessons, moral lessons. He adds that even in halacha, we don't always say that gzera shava has to be received. A person can, Yerushalmi says, that if you know a halacha is correct, there's no question that halacha is X, and you don't know the source for that halacha, you can darshan gzera shava and say, this is the source for the halacha that we all know to be true. The only time we say that gzera shava has to be received from your Rebbe is when you're trying to prove a new halacha that we don't all know already. Then you do not have the right to do that unless you were taught gzera shava by your Rebbe. But to prove a halacha that we all know to be true, and certainly in Agadita, the halacha, the gzera shava rather, does not have to be a received tradition. A person who's holding in that type of learning can make gzera shavas on his own. He also points out here in the introduction that in large part the chachamim, this is just aside, in large part, the Chachamim of Agadita are different people than the Chachamim of Halacha. It's not entirely true. Like we had in the Gemara today, Rav Papa. Rav Papa is one of the major Chachamim of Halacha, but there are many, many people mentioned in Midrashim and in Agadita who are never mentioned in Halacha. They specialized in Agadita only. So it's just a little bit of insight into how Agadita and Medrash work through this story of putting together these two false Nevi'im with Yeshua Kohen Gadol, which is not mentioned explicitly anywhere in Tanakh. Have a good day.